You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Okay, well, in the last week, RNZ has come under fire for its use of te reo, with Don Brash, among others, annoyed of its presence on national radio and television. Brash says he doesn't understand the language, says it has no value to him, and that it is being rammed down people's throats. Other people, like media commentator John Drennan, say RNZ does not have a strategy for its use of te reo, with no reason given as to why it is being used and what is being said.
Well, we are now joined live in studio by news director Lillian Hanley. BFM owner Jogai is not here anymore. We have former Y producer Atiriano Matariki, and we have the Monday Morning Glory host, Geneva Alexander Martin, to have a conversation about
Masters. Yeah, Masters.
Martin, why did I say Martin? Yeah. Hey, T, are you there?
Yeah. Kia ora, guys.
Kia ora.
Atiriano.
All the way from LA.
Ah, yo. How are you?
Hey. I'm good.
So do you want to start us off? Do you want to start us off with your general reaction to Don Brash?
My general reaction was not one of surprise, like, as everybody would all know, like, with his past campaign as leader of the ACT Party as well as leader of National, he's been very open about his views about Māori and anything to do with Māori, full stop. So it wasn't really a surprising thing, but it was really cool to hear that he was specifically bothered by the general use of te reo Māori and in a station like Radio New Zealand, because that shows me that times are changing and that everybody is becoming more and more open to using te reo widely on as broadcasters, which is a cool thing.
Do you guys in the studio want to respond to that?
So someone mentioned to me at a party on Saturday, it was a staff party, it was a Stars in Your Eyes themed. I was dressed up as Rihanna, and yes, ooh. Yeah, bitch better have my money, Rihanna. So big green jacket, I was feeling very fabulous, very sassy, and someone was like, oh, so did you hear about the Kim Hill, Don Brash thing? And I was like, why should I give a shit about either of those people? That was my reaction, because even though it's like cool and stuff, it's like, why the fuck are we still talking about this? And why are we giving this guy a platform? Because he sucks. And Hobson's pledge and Don Brash can go into the bin. Just put them in the bin.
Well, that's a good point you make. Why did the media still give these people a voice when they clearly seem to be more and more in the minority?
Yeah, because they're like, oh, what a surprise. It's like, no, it's not a surprise. And yeah.
And also, I guess there's that shock factor, right, when you've got this quite blatant racism that comes out. But actually, this is not necessarily shocking to a lot of people. People that have to live day to day kind of microaggressions that deal with, you know, racist or anti attitudes towards te reo, towards Māori people in general, those sorts of things. It's not necessarily shocking, but then you get Don Brash and he comes in and he's, you know, he upholds. It is a very sort of, I think, a small minority of people that agree with him and support this. But by putting him on a platform, and I think it goes back to those kind of old school news values, right, where you've got people who are in positions of quote authority. I'm not sure if he's still there, but he's somebody that's been, yeah, he's somebody that's been in our political sphere for a while now, and you get him and he's the one that you go to for these kinds of issues. And of course, if he says something, unless you're going to go to the source, right? But people have been vocal about the issue that you've got two Pākehā people debating a Māori issue with no Māori kind of voice in there. And it's like, okay, why are two white people just debating the existence of te ao Māori?
Why are they debating it as if like their opinion is the definition of it existing, and when it already exists without them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, or like that they think that their opinion is the most valid opinion, therefore is like the most commonly shared opinion, which is not true. Like, because everybody's more open to using te reo. And like, one thing I've noticed since moving to another country and living in another space, especially running into a lot of expat New Zealanders, they yearn for Te Reo Māori, like truly yearn for it, and they love it when somebody pats them on the shoulder and says kia ora, like just a simple kia ora brightens up an expat's day. So this whole opinion where Te Reo Māori is useless, it's not useless. It gives you, as a New Zealander, pride to know that your country is the only country where Māori is the native language. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I totally want to add to that as well. It's part of our identity as citizens of this country. It's our identity that is being compromised through this argument. And I think it's very important for us to hold on to Te Reo for everyone to acknowledge and enjoy for that reason.
In terms of people speaking, particularly Pākehā speaking their language, how important do you think is them making an effort versus them being accurate in their efforts?
Super important. Super important. I'm a loud advocate for Pākehā to join in and join in the fight and the battle for Te Reo Māori's revitalisation, which is quite the contrary to the background that I grew up in, which is around traditionalists who, you know, ko Te Reo Māori mō Māori anake, which is totally the most disfiguring thought, in my opinion, when it comes to Te Reo Māori revitalisation. But I do believe that Pākehā, as New Zealanders as a whole, because Māori isn't just the language for Māori, it's the language for all New Zealanders. That's just my opinion on it.
Your question, Sam, do you mean that is it better to be making the attempt and having the accuracy not necessarily be important? So I agree to an extent, right? If you've got... But it kind of cancels, they cancel each other out, right? Because if you're making the attempt, then you're probably going to pronounce it right, right? You're not necessarily going to butcher it, as people say. But I do think that as broadcasters, seeing as we're talking about this specifically in terms of broadcasting, you do have that obligation, right?
To get it right.
Because you are putting it out on a platform, which is one of, I guess, authority and where a lot of people get their information from.
Like there was that example last year where the mayor of, I think it was Naruahia, couldn't even pronounce that particular city
that
correctly.
Yes, remember that.
Yeah. And you'd think being, because they were a mayor of that place for a while, and Naruahia, I mean, that's a very beautiful
It's quite an
name.
Important place as well.
And yes, it's the home of the Kingitanga. So if you're not going to get it right and you're going to be a voice for that place, that becomes an issue, right? But generally, the people here are making the attempt. And if as soon as you make the attempt, you start to get used to that way that sounds, and it becomes less and less difficult.
Do the media do enough to use Te Reo on a daily basis, do you think?
Personally, I think that there is a lot more visibility and structure around using Te Reo, but there have been instances where a lot of viewers have complained about Te Reo being used.
Particular station, we get it quite regularly.
Yes, it is something that occurs for anyone. It's happened to Kānua Lloyd, who does the project now, but she used to do the weather, and there was a whole thing that happened with her where people were complaining about her referring to places like the Te Waipounamu instead of the South Island and that type of thing. And it's just insane, because it's like, if you're a media outlet, you're supposed to be acknowledging all like facets. Like if someone was doing sign language, that would be cool, or having captions, because that's our third language.
But also
language.
The Māori translation is so much nicer than just saying South Island.
Well, it's also
it's quite original, isn't it, South Island?
Yeah, original, real good. But it also, gives mana to that place and the original meaning of that place, right? It has a direct relationship rather than just being like, oh yeah, this is south of the North Island, so yeah, okay, we'll call it the South Island. That's a good one. But I want to pick up on your point, Sam. You said that we have had complaints here at BFM regarding their use, and I've had not necessarily the opposite, but I've had a lot more positive feedback actually as well. Like BFM's been making an effort for a few years now in regards to actually including reo in bulletins and other sort of throughout the station or on the shows. And Aotearoa, you were hugely instrumental in that, right? So Aotearoa, for those who don't know, for part of your degree, created a kind of resource which has all of the words, all of the names, all of the things that we use quite often on the radio, and you've put an audio clip. So there's no excuse, right, for our station to be mucking things up, because we have the access of that. So when you have people that are actually willing to go to that kind of effort to provide you the resources, there's no excuse, right? So we actually, on BFM, we get a lot of positive feedback about our use of it, and people even being like, you know, if you're going to make the effort, do it right when people do kind of muck up. So we have that kind of burden that we do have to do it right.
Well, while we're on the topic of listeners complaining or listeners contributing to this conversation, someone just texted in saying what's annoyed them is that you guys are saying, what's this white thing? Some of us are white but really into culture. So that was a message someone just texted in. What do you guys think about that?
So are they asking about, like, why are we referring to Pākehā as Pākehā? Or
I think that what they're saying is, I think they feel a little bit pigeonholed or something. Like the thing being,
well,
like,
try being Māori, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Try living in a Māori body.
I think, too, is a Pākehā response to that, too, because I'd back you up there, Geneva. Like, that kind of should end the conversation. But in terms of moving forward, you have to, in terms of referring to Don Brash and other people like that, that spout this kind of narrative, in Hobson's Pledge, right, they've got Māori people who they put up on their platform, and they're like, look, we've got Māori people in this, therefore we can't be racist. That's not true, okay? When you talk about whiteness, that's not necessarily the colour of your skin or what you believe or whatever. It's what you express,
your ideology,
and what you represent, and what you put out there, right? So if you... When I say a old pale male stale is, I think, the term these days, right, where you've got these kind of older men who have been in positions of power for so long and have never actually been challenged or resisted. Well, they have been. They have been, let's say. They've never had to listen. Thank you. They've had this power, and now it is actually being challenged and it is being resisted to, and rightly so, I think. Why not be more multicultural or multilingual or any of those things above being Eurocentric and monocultural or monolingual?
Can I add to that?
Yeah, of course.
So I just wanted to add as well that I hope that people, like, similar to what I look at back at in the 80s, like looking at old broadcast footage or something, I want people to listen back to us or listen back to or you know, read back and be like, oh yeah, this was the time where, like, people actually took notice. And isn't it so outdated now that people used to sound like that? And look at what we've become now, like, so fluid and bilingual, you know.
And then 10 years from now, we'll look back at this year and be like, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Everyone was like complaining about it, and now it's just normal.
Yeah.
Should we just get last thoughts from AT?
As a person that studied the history of Māori media, in my opinion, this is nothing new. This is basically what was happening back in, like, the 70s and the 80s when those small student Māori groups first started their protests, whether in down in Wellington with the petition or up in Auckland with Ngā Tamatoa fighting the battle of the engineering students. Physically, you know, it's sort of like another peg in the wheel. Is like, we'll probably see a similar thing happen, but not to this extent within the next 10 years. But it will be far more progressive.
Okay.
So probably, like, I guess in 10 years they'll probably be complaining about, oh, they're pronouncing it wrong, where instead of fighting, oh, why are they still saying this? I feel like with our generation, the whole, everybody's a lot more progressive, especially within news broadcasters today, with a guy like Jack Tame getting an award from Te Tauta Whiri for his use of Te Reo Māori on nationwide breakfast broadcasting. You know, it's just another peg, or it's just another little timestamp in the forever in the forever battle to, you know, to uphold te reo Māori, te ao Māori in New Zealand,
which is
great.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.